The Lord never forsakes His own. We shall see this so clearly in our study today. Everyone else forsook the blind man who had been healed, but Jesus was right there when the need arose. We can trust Christ whatever the situation. Jesus never failed. The Pharisees refused to give up in their attack. If you notice John 9, verse 26, then said they to the healed man again, "What did he to thee? How open he thine eyes?" Doubtless by their repetition of the same question, they were trying to confuse the man, expecting him to contradict himself so they could accuse him and his healer. With God-given grace, he replied to their subtle efforts, "I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" This aroused their anger more than ever. For then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples." But our Lord had declared in John 5, verse 46, "Had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Christ was no stranger to Moses, but he was to these Pharisees because of their refusal to believe. The Pharisees declared in verse 29, "We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." Whence, as used here, does not mean place. It refers rather to a commission. They knew that Moses was called and commissioned of God. Had they been willing to investigate with open minds, they would have discovered that Christ had been commissioned by the Father. Look at Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" The healed man spoke again, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes." There is no question about it. The miracle had been performed. The man born blind could see. Christ must have received his authority from God the Father, for what he did was beyond the realm of a human. The healed man continued in verse 31, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." By this it was not meant, of course, that God does not hear the prayers of lost sinners who cry out to God in repentance. The reference is to those who profess to be followers of God, but who habitually live in sin. If one is a worshiper of God, that is, if he is right with the Lord, living in obedience to God's will, the Lord will hear him. The angry Jews could not resist this argument, because it was the very thing which they believed and taught, even though their lives did not prove it. Next, the healed man reminded his hearers in verse 32, "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" All of them were familiar with the magicians and sorcerers, but it was well known that they were imposters. "If this man were not of God," we read, "he could do nothing." The reasoning of the healed man far exceeded that of the learned Pharisees. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. "God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Unable to answer the arguments, but at the same time unwilling to give up, the Pharisees did what defeated men usually do. They gave vent to their anger. Verse 34, "They answered and said unto him, 'Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?' And they cast him out." realizing the seriousness of being cast out of the synagogue, the man born blind must have felt friendless in a strange world. But it was not for long, for we read that Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Is this not just like our wonderful Lord? We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Christ can provide an escape for any dilemma of life. The man of our text had been cast out of the synagogue, only to be cast into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the question our Lord asked the man when he found him. "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Christ had healed the physical blindness. Now he returned to heal the spiritual blindness. There seemed to be a readiness and eagerness to believe as the man asked, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" The Lord Jesus answered, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Immediately the man cried out, "Lord, I believe." And then he worshipped him, falling down before the Lord Jesus. He gave homage to him as the Son of God. The man born blind became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, what joy must have flooded his heart. Even greater than the receiving of physical eyesight was the opening of his spiritual eyes. The Lord Jesus told him, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Now, this is not a contradiction of other statements our Lord made, that he came not to judge the world, or that he came not to condemn the world. The meaning here seems to be that when one refuses to believe, he brings judgment upon himself. Considering the case at hand, our Lord said that he came into this world that they which see not might see, speaking of spiritual healing. Thinking of the Pharisees and their hardness of heart, he said he came that they which see might be made blind. In other words, a refusal to believe results in a worse condition. The heart hardens and the possibility of belief lessens. Recognizing our Lord's inference, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" It is obvious that some of the Pharisees had been following him and now were listening carefully. Their question was pure sarcasm. It was as though he had said, "Do you think we who are the authorities of the law, the learned doctors, are spiritually blind?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Because they were so confident in their self-conceits, they remained in unbelief. How many there are who, like them, have been kept from eternal life because of pride. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you've never come to Christ, don't let your pride keep you away. Don't feel that you are too proud to come to Christ. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. The Bible says if we humble ourselves as little children, we are prepared then to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Of course, we must believe on Christ. But we are to humble ourselves and realize that Christ is Lord and we are nothing in the sight of God. So I trust if you've never believed on Christ that you'll do it right now and claim him as your very own. God is ready and I hope you are too. Father God, I praise you for yourself. I thank you that in Christ we have victory. No matter what the circumstances are, we can overcome with Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through him. Some need him today, Father, in a very special way. May they call on him and claim him as their very own. And for your people who are going through difficult times, may they trust you, Father, knowing that you never fail. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.